You know, as we said yesterday, New Zealand's got a new Prime Minister. His name, Bill English. Until now, Mr. English has been the country's treasurer, faithfully serving the government of John Key. Sort of a quite achieving government, really, that of John Key. But in many respects, this Bill English was seen as integral to a strong Prime Minister-Treasurer team. In a similar way, I guess, to Hawke and Keating or Howard and Costello here in Australia, the New Zealand economy is now in a very strong position, thanks to Mr. English's stewardship as Treasurer. And together with John Key, they brought confidence and stability back to the New Zealand economy and placed the value of the New Zealand dollar pretty close to that of its Australian counterpart. Questions from this morning onwards will be, well, can we expect more of the same with the new Prime Minister there, or will we see a new approach? Well, a leading mind on what Bill English's government's going to look like is that of Dr. Oliver Hart, which is the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative, a public policy think tank, and he joins me on the line from New Zealand. Good morning, Oliver.
Good morning.
Nice to catch up with you again. As we said, the John Key government, one that Australia sort of really knew quite well, was seen as that of a quiet achiever. Are we going to see the same approach under Bill English?
We probably will, because Bill English was a part of that team, of course. He was an integral part of the John Key cabinet as Minister of Finance and Deputy Prime Minister for 8 years. And I would say he was actually the driving intellectual force of the Key government. They had a clear division of labor between themselves, John Key and Bill English. John Key was a salesman, someone who connected with everyday people, and he really went out and sold the policies. But the engine room was definitely meant by Bill English, and that's where all the policy ideas came from that Key then implemented.
It's a great success story over the last four or so years. Of course, Australia is now seeing budget deficits of $40-odd billion federally per year. New Zealand is about to bank a $2 billion surplus. How do they do it? What are we doing wrong in return? I mean, we've got all the resources.
Well, I think to the credit of the Key government, they took a very long-term view of public finances and of economic reform, and they didn't go on a spending spree in the GFC, of course, where Australia had a $42 billion stimulus package. New Zealand had practically nothing. So they took a very quiet approach to reform. They did some of the right things, like gradual tax reform, cutting welfare dependency, welfare reform. And I think in that sense, the Key English government actually managed to steer New Zealand through the GFC much more successfully than their Australian counterparts. And I think now they're actually reaping what they have sown, and they've got a budget surplus, and I think they've got more room for maneuver. So that is, I think, to a large degree due to Bill English's good stewardship of public finance.
Do they have an advantage in New Zealand that they don't have a Senate, an upper house, which, like in Australia, seems to veto or just smear everything with political opportunism?
Well, you could see it that way, but on the other hand, where we don't have a Senate, we have MMP, and that's an electoral system that basically replicates your Senate experience in our lower house. I mean, there's only one house. But basically, we have an electoral system that requires coalition building after elections, typically. And so all the complications that you typically get from bicameralism, you can see in New Zealand just in one house.
One of my previous callers this morning, Oliver, said that part of the success in New Zealand was that the Key English government really drove pretty hard against sections of the welfare community. Is that true? What did they do?
Well, they did, but they did it in a way that made them look reasonable and their opponents unreasonable. The way it happened was basically after the 2008 election, when Key and English took over, they spent the first 3 years just preparing the public for welfare changes. They put in place a welfare reform working group and tasked them really with coming up with ideas for welfare reform, and that took them basically the first term of the Key English government. And then in the second term, once the recommendations were out, once the public had a chance to actually understand what they're about, and once they had established a clear narrative in the public's mind, then they were actually able to implement these reforms without much public resistance. So the whole welfare reform process really took about 6 years, but at the end of it, the country got welfare reforms, and practically everybody, except for a few extremist welfare campaigners, were on board.
New Zealand, I guess, like Australia, has also ridden the China export-import wave over the last decade, particularly the last four or five years. There have been concerns in some sections of the dairy industry that, you know, there's been a bit of a buyout going on. There is now pressure, of course, in some of the cities and towns of New Zealand on property prices. Young people feel like they're being locked out. It hasn't all been smooth sailing, although the numbers at the end of the day paint a pretty rosy picture, right?
Well, I would actually look at it from a different angle, the whole China connection, because actually New Zealand is one of the best countries when it comes to trade deals. And New Zealand has had a trade deal with China for a long time now, going back to the previous government under Helen Clark. But New Zealand has also successfully negotiated trade deals with other countries. We've got a free trade agreement with Hong Kong, with Taiwan, with South Korea. So New Zealand has established itself as one of the best free trading nations on the planet, and it's actually worked really in New Zealand's favor. I think the China factor is probably the one factor that really helped New Zealand get through the GFC, because the free trade agreement with China was just signed before the GFC, and we could see an explosion of trade between the two countries throughout the GFC, and I think that was really what helped the economy over this very difficult period.
All right, well, just in conclusion then, as I said, Australia really has so many more trump cards, you would assume, than New Zealand. It is a bigger continent, endowed with natural resources, a larger economy to start, longer-standing relationships in some respects with trading partners. Yet it's been New Zealand over the last 4 or 5 years that's been kicking the goals, whilst Australia finds itself in the economic gutter. What are the lessons that Australia should learn from the New Zealand story? What can we apply to our economy? What can Scott Morrison, if he's listening, do to turbocharge Australia like New Zealand's successfully done?
Well, Australia, I think, has to rediscover the art of reform. The last big reform that Australia got after all the reforms of the 80s and 90s was probably the introduction of the GST, but that was 2001. And ever since, Australia really hasn't seen the kinds of reforms that New Zealand has implemented in the last few years. The New Zealand government, under John Key and now under Bill English, they have demonstrated how reform works. You have to establish a narrative, you have to prepare the public, you have to do some good policy work, and then you can convince the public that some reforms are needed. In Australia, on the other hand, I think that narrative has not really been established in the last 15 years. There was a change, of course, of prime ministers, and that probably didn't help either. There were all sorts of personality issues involved in Australian politics, which, unfortunately, I think were also absent in New Zealand. So I think you need a steadier hand at reform, you need a better narrative, and you need a better communication strategy to get the public on board.
Good to catch up this morning, Oliver. Thank you for that. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dr. Oliver Mark Hartwich there, the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. But